Now, we are still on the letter P when it comes down to the ABCs of Christian maturity. We're talking about prayer. And Psalm 62, verse 8, really does sum up both the motivation, the necessity, and the purpose of prayer in our lives. And it says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah." When something good happens in your life, do you not pick up the phone and call somebody about it? When there is a problem, do you not pick up the phone and say, "Hey, listen, here's what's going on"? We experienced that at the house. We were doing laundry, and this was, you know, over the last year. We just noticed this faint squeak turn into like this aggressive grunt coming from the dryer. It's like we put a pig in there at one point. And after, you know, months of saying, "Hey, you better come take a look at this. Hey, you better come take a look at this." Finally, it came down to, "Hey, you better come take a look at this before I take it apart." And for whatever reason, brother, that just motivates people around me. If you don't do it, I'll do it. All right, we're there. But no, they came out and they fixed it. And for two or three loads, it was whisper quiet. It was amazing. And then it stopped tumbling. And then it stopped working altogether. So what do you do? What do you do when something small like that happens? You pick up the phone, you make a phone call. Something happens with the car, you call somebody. Good news, bad news, you pick up and you talk to somebody. When God is my refuge, when I see Him as He is in this verse, I am going to come to Him in almost every situation. Why? Because I trust in Him at what times? All times. In good times, in bad times. Yes, even in the mundane Tuesday times when there's nothing of any excitement going on at all, I still trust in Him. It says to do what? To gently go and repeat myself, to go and just hit him with the Cliff Notes version of my life and my day. No, that verse says pour out your hearts before Him. Now there's no reason to be ashamed of what is in our hearts, right? God already knows it's there. You might as well dump that out for Him. You might as well pour that out onto Him. And say, "Hey, listen, where I am wrong, fix me. Where I am right, encourage me, strengthen me, make me better." And we find that in all of this, God is a refuge for us. In those moments before we must do something big, we go to Him and we rest in Him. When we have the scary times, the sad times, the happy times, we go to Him and we are thankful. There must be an attitude that comes to our prayer lives. Because again, we use the word prayer like it's, again, an entity in and of itself. What it is a conversation with God. We must have a right attitude when it comes down to that conversation. Right? When I was a child, and many of you probably had the same thing when you were a kid, you were outside and you were playing, and your parents called you in. Why? Because Aunt so-and-so is on the phone. Now, you probably didn't want to talk to Aunt so-and-so. You probably didn't want to talk to Grandma, Grandpa. You wanted to go play with your friends. You wanted to be out there. You were wild. You were free. Come in here and talk to them. Here you go. What kind of attitude do we see in those, "Hi. Well, how's school going?" "Good." "You doing anything exciting?" "No." That's kind of what you get out of them, right? Why? Because they have a certain attitude towards that conversation. I want to be out being wild and free. Now here's the thing, as you get older and you mature, I'm sure there are many people we wish we could pick up that phone and we could talk to again that as a child we might not have had the right attitude in conversation with. There's a few relatives that I'd love to be able to talk to that when I was a kid I was like, "Oh, all right, get this phone." I don't have that opportunity anymore. Now with maturity, I want to have those conversations, right? We need to have the right attitude when we approach the Lord, right? We die for it. We run for it. I remember growing up with Danielle when she would call the house. That was back when we first got caller ID. Remember when that came out? We had all that power. I told my kids about that. You know, they're like, "Yeah, we used to have this little box that would hook up to the phone that would hang up on the wall. And it'd tell you who's on the phone." And my dad sat there one day. He goes, John Thompson, who's that? And I beelined it for the phone because that's Danielle, right? We have an attitude towards the people we want to talk to. We ought to have the proper attitude when it comes down to talking to God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Right? When we talk to God, there needs to be a reverence in our prayers. Let's go ahead and read on through to verse 10 here. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Right, there's a lot of folks that when they go to talk to God, it's almost they've completely forgotten who God is. God is the creator of all things. He is the master and commander of the entire creation. He is the heavenly Father. There needs to be a reverence. There needs to be a respect when we talk to God. Now, again, we are still commanded to do other things, to have a familiarity to Him, to have a love for Him, and treat Him like our heavenly Father. But some of the modern day Christian prayers that we hear are downright disrespectful, right? We deserve things, and He ought to answer and abide by everything. Like we command God, we don't, right? When we're talking to Him, we see again in this passage of Scripture, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," right? No matter what I ask for. No matter what it is I need, I trust in your will above all other things. We also see out of Hebrews 4:16 that we are told that we can come boldly before the throne. Boldly. Now what does that mean? It means that I don't have to sit there and come up with some kind of a poetic, flowery thing. I just come before Him and say, Heavenly Father, and I can start talking to Him. And I can be cavalier and I can ask for things. Why? Because I am coming and I am talking to one that loves me and one that I love. There's that relationship. So I can come boldly. Right? There are some folks that I kind of have that relationship with them. I don't sit there, hey, how are you? Good, how are you? Wonderful, how's your day going? No, we just dive right in. I know I come in early for church on Sundays, and Amen comes in, and she's got that look on her face. And that look communicated everything I needed to know about how that last 20 minutes or so has been in the house. So some things I had to address right off the top, she didn't have to say a word to me. Why? Because we've got that relationship. I know you, you know me, we're here, right? We can have that boldness with God, where I can begin talking to Him at any time, at any given point. I don't have to set up an appointment with the Lord. I can speak to Him as one who wants to hear. Now, we know that we're supposed to have reverence. We know that we're supposed to have boldness. But our prayer should also notate some kind of faith. James 1:5. James 1:5. Which says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given in him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now what does that mean? How do I balance knowing that God might say no with a full-on belief that He'll say yes? Well, that's just kind of how you do it. When I ask God to heal somebody, to save somebody, to work in a situation, I ask fully believing that He is going to do it. But I don't whine when He says no. I don't lose faith in Him when He says no. Right? When again, speaking of children, when your parents took you into the store and you wanted candy, and they can I have that? Can I have that? And your mom and dad said no. Did you all of a sudden lose faith that they could afford the candy? No, you didn't lose faith that they were able to get it for you. You heard the word no. verbally hear from God. We just see the end results. Hey, listen, Lord, if you could, this is what I want. This is what I want to see. Lord, will you do this for me? And it doesn't turn out that way. We look at that and we say, he said no. But my faith is not shaken nor wavered, because I still believe that what he will do, what he says he'll do, I still believe that he can do all things. I'm just able to hear the word no. Like, I see that, okay, he said no. I also see that in these things, God has a will in a way that is often beyond my ability to put it together and understand. Right? So we need to be able to pray in faith. Every time we ask God for something, we need to fully believe that not only can he, but he will do that thing. But again, we balance that, we temper that with reverence, saying, hey, listen, I respect your will, though. So if you say no, if you say wait, I'm going to be able to hold it together with my faith. Now, we're also told that we are to pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, if you skip your Bible reading this morning, I'm helping you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Giving, let your requests be made known unto God. Isn't it awful when you kind of get into that state where it's like, Lord, and give me this, 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 and there's almost no gratitude for the things that have come before him there, right? God's just kind of become our cosmic genie, and we're just rubbing that lamp whenever we need something, and of course demanding that he answers and gives me that thing, or else I've lost all faith in him. Sometimes the answer again will be no, sometimes the answer will be no. But when answers, we need to ask 10 of them, one added in his right, go back and say thank you. He was the only one to walk away with salvation. Just basing off that conversation that he had. When we go to the Lord, we go to thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the air in my lungs and the sanity in my mind. And Lord, thank you for the ability to walk about and do the things today. We need to approach him with thanksgiving, to have lists of things that we are thankful for, right? Things that have happened. And I can go back and say, listen, I saw some bad news on the horizon, and I saw you work through it, and now it's good news. And hey, I saw this happen. I asked you for this, and it happened, and what a wonderful thing. We go back to what I have, those green marked things in my prayer request list, and I go back and thank you and thank you. And you know what? You can build an entire prayer time just based off of the thank yous. I tell you what, you want to fit you feeling down? That's what you can do. What's that old song? Count your blessings. Right? If you're sitting there and you're so caught up in all the bad things, and you're caught up in all the misery and disappointments, what would benefit you the most is going back on all those answered prayers. I tell you what, it won't fix the situation, but it sure will give you hope. It sure will make you feel better. It'll put things back in perspective. So we pray in faith, we pray in thanksgiving. We're also commanded to persistent prayer. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So reading through that, we see this unjust judge who fears neither God nor man, but for the sake of his own not wanting to be pestered, he answered. And Jesus says, now listen, if this unrighteous man is willing to answer the request just to stop from being pastored, what do you think someone who actually loves and cares for you is going to do? Go to him. Now again, this is not annoying God to get what we want. This is not a magical formula where if I want something this big, I've got to pray this many times to get it. It's not like that. But if I go to God and I demonstrate how that need, and I demonstrate to God how much to me, right? Then the command, pray continuously. We prayed together once for always bringing this back up. Hands me to. You want some logic? But if God says, come to me, guess what I'm going to do? I'm coming to him. And I'm going to keep my request known unto him. And you know what? For the sake of my sanity, maybe I'll change up the phrasing. Maybe I'll change the wording in it. But regardless, I'm going to go and be persistent. Now, Luke 11:3 talks about dependence, depending on the Lord in our prayers. It says, give us day by day our daily bread. And we see here in this model prayer, this request for the things. Many of us, we woke up, we ate breakfast. I didn't. I'm trying to cut back on the amount of things I eat. But no, we wake up. Breakfast there, right? At least I pray it is. If not, let me know. We'll help you, right? But most of us, we woke up, there was breakfast. You might not have had it, but it was there, right? Many of you had all the things that you needed, the coffee, the toothpaste, the shower, all the things that we needed were there. But do not let that stop you from asking. It's always there. One thing that I've learned, I would hope, over the last couple of years is how quickly things can dry up. How quickly change. Many of us, we knew people that had jobs, lost them. Many of us, we knew people who could not find certain things that they needed, could not get to certain treatments or care that they needed. Why? Because of the lack of our ability, our fears, whatever have you, they just couldn't get to it. Every day we need to pray that God give us the things that we need, because you never know. Right? There was a, as I was dropping off the water sample, there was a man sitting there right in front of the courthouse begging. You know, I sit there and I walk by him and I think of so many like him. You know the difference between him and people like you and me? Not a thing. Not a thing. Circumstances, addictions, things could work out. We'd be right there with him. Right? There is no temptation that hit him that cannot hit you or me. Right, and again, that should work compassion. It should work kindness and love. It should work charity. However, what it should work the most is our dependence on asking the Lord to meet everything that we need. Just because we have the promise that the writer had never seen the righteous forsaking nor begging for bread, that does not mean that we should not ask. Jesus Christ himself worked it into the model of how we should be praying, that we should ask for our daily bread. Romans chapter 15, verse 30 gives us another characteristic of our prayer. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. What do we see there? We see earnestness, right? We see a fervor, right? A strong desire in our prayers, right? I am going to the only person who can help all of my things, right? If I've got an issue with the car, I'll call the mechanic. If I got an issue with the house, I'll call the landlord. All these different things that we would do, right? I kind of laugh. This time of year, I start to get uncomfortable. This is the time of year where we start getting phone calls for air conditioners in the apartment industry. 60 degrees outside. Air conditioner's not working. It's not going to. Because even your air conditioner can feel that it's not time to come on yet. But anyway, because you get those phone calls 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. You get those phone calls 4 o'clock in the morning again. You'll be walking into work, there'll be 9 of them sitting in your voicemail, right? Why? Because we have a need, we have a want, we give it a call. And every time it's the same conversation. We've got children.
please come and turn the air conditioner on.
It is still 60 degrees outside. Or my personal favorite, we'd get people and they would, I've got arthritis and allergies and cancer and I've got a third leg and I've got... Ma'am, if the furnace isn't working, my shoes are already on. And they would continue to beg, please, please, please. I'm like, no, shoes are on, keys are in hand, I'm coming. You don't have to convince me, right? If the building's on fire, we're on the way. Like, you don't have to do all that. But they beg earnestly. Why? Because they want you to come out. How do I talk to my God when I need things? Now again, not whining, not boo-hooing. But I go to the Lord and there's some earnestness in it. Lord, please. Please, you see my situation. You see my heart. You see how I feel about the whole thing. You see my weaknesses. You see the gap between what is needed of me and what I can provide. Lord, please help me in this situation. And of course, we see also in there, we can pray with confidence. I can pray with confidence as one I know who's going to be able to take care of things. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. So far we've got persistence, dependence, earnestness, confidence. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There is an openness. How much of my care do I give to God? Well, I give it all to God. I do. There's some folks you can't tell everything to. They just don't take it right. Right? And sometimes there's just some things we don't feel openly okay talking about all the details. Like we'll have those unspoken prayer requests sometimes in the church where there's nothing to be ashamed of there, but it's private. It's a private thing. We don't want everybody in our church family, in our family, to know the exact details of things, right? We had one particular member at Flat Rock. The pastor had to sit there and tell them because they had a Facebook page where you can put your prayer requests on. And I remember a particular time the pastor had to go to somebody and say, hey, listen, can you, I don't know exactly how he put it together, but basically the person was grossing us out. It's like, can you put some detail, but not all the detail? Well, when it comes down to God, we can cast all of our cares. There is nothing going on in our lives that we need to hide from God because we can't hide anything from God. The good, the bad, the ugly, the things that we don't even want to admit to ourselves, we need to have that openness with God because, folks, it's already there. There's nothing you got God doesn't already know. There's nothing that is affecting your heart that God does not already know. So we might as well make it known to him. We have a few minutes left here in Sunday school, so let's press on. When should we pray? We've talked about this. We understand that we ought to pray without ceasing. All the time, anytime, every time, you can go to the Lord. You do not need an appointment. You do not need a set schedule, although I highly recommend a set schedule just for your good stewardship of things, right? But God doesn't require it, but maybe you'll require it to say, at this time, I'm going to do it. But we pray without ceasing. At any time, we have that attitude of prayer. And also, I don't put myself into a place, emotionally or physically, where I cannot drop what I'm doing and go to the Lord. Right? We need to, again, have the respect and separation of our lives that I can at any moment go to the Lord. It would be very difficult to stop at a bar and pray. It'd be very difficult to stop while you're cussing somebody out to pray for something, right? We need to have the right heart and be in the right places where I can ceaselessly be praying. Now, Daniel had set times, right? Daniel prayed three times daily. David liked to pray in the morning. The Lord Jesus liked to pray in the morning. The apostles practiced set times of prayer, as we see in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Basically, it comes down to this. There's ceaseless prayer, and then there are those times. Now, is it better in the morning? Well, it depends. Is it better for you in the morning? Right? Is it better for you at night? Well, it depends. Is it better for you at night? Right? We're all kind of different people, aren't we? I like mornings. Mornings are good for me. Right? I'm awake, I'm alert, and if I can beat most of the children up, not beat them up, but you know what I'm saying? If I can wake up before them, I can get a good time in there. Some of us, we need to go out to the wilderness to pray. Some of us need to be in the car to pray. Whatever it is, we need to keep those at those appointments and keep those appointments so that we are having regular conversation with the Lord. Now, there are three realms in which we pray. There is the personal, private prayer that we have. We read in Matthew 6:6, Jesus calls the place for this kind of prayer a closet. Right? When you enter into your closet, which means we need to be in a place where we can pray without interruptions. Now, again, these are the planned times of prayer. These are the scheduled times of prayer where I can go off and I can be alone. Jesus assures us that God hears and answers our secret prayers. Not the ones we pray out, not just the ones we pray out loud before the meal, not just the ones we pray out loud for the family, but in those moments where we are by ourselves, that is an important time to pray. Right? We also see public prayer. This would be times when we're praying here in church, or maybe the family has asked you to pray over the meal. Right? We have that public prayer where we are praying and there's others around us. It's not that chaotic stuff that you see where I'm up here praying and anybody walking by would just hear a babbling crowd. No, one person stands up to lead the prayer. We all pray in those words. We're all having that conversation. We're all standing before the Lord, but there's one spokesman for us. Right? Those public prayers. Now, to me, I think it's important to have the right kind of attitude with that. I've struggled with this. Perhaps you have too. Prayer doesn't quite sound like a conversation when we're praying publicly. If your private prayers don't sound exactly the way your public prayers do, because you're very conscious that there are other people around you, so we try to put on airs during those things. All of a sudden, the these and the thous creep in. like the Lord still prays in Old English, right? Or the Lord still communicates in Old English. No, we want to make sure that it's just the same kind of conversation we have openly, as if there were a group of us and one person is talking. I liken it to this. We've met with some contractors for things. Oftentimes we try to schedule it right around the coffee meeting. It's pretty cool. But we'll be back there and there'll be one person talking on behalf of the entire group. That's kind of what it is. One person is talking to the Lord for the entire group. And it needs to be just as personal as that. Then we have what we call partnership prayers. When we can pray privately with a friend, with a spouse, with a child, these one and one more else in the world, you can with them, right? And pray with somebody, pray with them, and to have that connection with the Lord with them is paramount, especially in arguments. Praying. That is the problem when we can sit there. You know, we can put on a facade for other people, for our friends. We can put on this little facade, right? But when we're both standing before the Lord, it is hard to be a jerk. For the Lord. It is hard to be abrasive in front of the Lord. We need to practice those times of vulnerability, especially in front of God. But it lifts each other up. It builds each other. When we can stop and say, hey, listen, this is what's going on this week. Can we just meet for a little bit and pray over these events that are going to happen? And we've talked about this before, that there are things that can be expected when we ask God for things. Again, sometimes it'll be yes. You know, isn't it wonderful when God says yes, and sometimes God says no, and that breaks our heart, and it's a difficult thing to have to deal with depending on the situation, but it always has to do with His will, always has to do with His plan, always works out together for good. And for me, I think the hardest thing to ever hear from the Lord is nothing at all. The dreaded wait. I hate waiting. Anybody here, you love waiting? I have no patience for waiting. You know, I think, Brother Mike, I think you hit it on the head. We were talking about the coffee fellowship. We were talking about traffic, right? Kind of brought up a scenario. And this is my attitude in all of life. If I'm here and I'm trying to get there, anything that slows me down between here and there,
Not a fan. No, thank you. And that's, I've got no patience for wait. But you know what? God uses wait. Hey, no. This is my scheduled time, and you are months away from it. Hey, I need you to get to this point before we can even address that. You know, I praise the Lord for that as well, because it gives time of growth. It gives us that time where the child inside of us is screaming, no, and we have time to mature and to grow past that. Well, brother, how old I am, I don't have a child inside of me that does that. We all do. It's called our sin nature that beats against the bars of common sense and says, let's do something crazy, right? For every single one of us inside, there is a Sarah who knows the will of God, knows what they think they want, and is willing to cheat to get there, right? So again, what do? We honor God's answer, even if it doesn't look like what we want. Right, and we'll look at a few more things next week concerning prayer, and then move on to not the letter Q, but we'll move on to. Hold on, I'm looking for it. We'll figure that out later. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.